Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire.
So, before I start, I just want to mention something quickly. I heard this week there's some couples who have celebrated some big wedding anniversaries recently. Steve and Nikki celebrated 20 years, wherever they've gone. They were here somewhere. There they are. And Peter and Anne celebrated 51 years of marriage. 51 years of marriage. That's over twice as long as I've been alive. This is amazing. I love being in a church where there's couples, godly couples to look up to, who have lived out a good marriage. You know, we should celebrate marriage as church. And especially as a young man, I am getting married this year. Yay! Yeah, you know, I'd love to be able to say in 20 years' time, like Steve and Nikki, yeah, been married for 20 years. It's been exciting. It's been an adventure. Have I lived that long? I love 50 years' time. Well, I'll be old. And to be able to say, look, I've been married for 50... It's not a bad thing being old. It's a good thing. But yeah. This is amazing. Yeah. To be able to say that, what a testimony. Yeah. And we have other good couples in the church. We have Paul and Kate, Pastor Paul, Kate, Brian and Shona. You know, it's good to be surrounded by godly people who we can look up to. I'm a young, impressionable young man. And these guys are great. This is our family. This is the group of people that we do life with. And I love that there's so many good people around. It's not like you struggle to look around and say, who can I look to and think, yeah, I want to learn from you. There's loads of people. Good times. So I want to talk this morning, I guess, about being part of church, because we are part of church. And I love what Pastor Paul was just talking about with the feeding of many people from the little boy and his fishes and his loaves. Yeah, I want to pose, I suppose, not a question, more a statement, a thought. What you get out of church, or what you get out of following Jesus, living for God, is relative to what you put into it. As you sow your life into the kingdom, then you will reap a rich reward. But it doesn't happen by accident. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. You know, we come to God with all our mess and all our junk, and he says, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to make you as I originally intended you, to be awesome, to be great, to be full of God's life. And this is good. But then beyond that, following Jesus or living for God is not a life where you sit back and just let the grace of God wash over you every day. It does, but it's not a passive thing. You know, God calls us to a life of fulfillment, a life of excitement. Yeah. I like excitement. I like fulfillment. Life should be exciting. Life should be fun. But that doesn't happen by accident. Your life of fulfillment in God does not happen because you just sit back and say, well, whatever happens, happens. It comes because you give. It becomes because you pursue God. You give to God, God gives back. He doesn't give back because you give, but there's an element where as you give, you receive. Like an offering, but you offer your life, not just money. It says, Matthew chapter 6. This is a good passage. Yeah, I remember Brian Blacklock from the Navigators, when he came recently, he said, everyone should have some kind of passage or place in the Bible that is something for them specific that they believe God has given to them as a favorite scripture or as an important scripture for their life. And, you know, for this Matthew 6, this is one of those scriptures for me. It's an important scripture that I go back to and I think, yeah, that's really significant for me. And first of all, just pull out the verse, verse 33, Matthew 6, verse 33. You all know it. It says, let the kingdom of heaven and living in right relationship be your priorities, and then everything else you need will be given to you. So what does that mean? Let the kingdom of heaven, living in right relationship with God, be your priorities. It means as you do that, then everything else you need will be given to you. It's not as you sit around and say, come what may, then everything is given to you. It's as you pursue God, as you give yourself to Him, as you put God first. So what does that look like as a church? How do we live like that? I want to talk about skills. I get my stopwatch out. That's a good idea. The skills that you have. You know, we talk a lot about money and giving money and how important it is to give money. And it is, of course. As it says in Matthew 6 again, where you put your money, that's where your heart is. It's a demonstration of where your heart is. So if you're into church, if you're giving yourself to God, then you sow into the kingdom. Yeah. But you don't just sow in money. Yeah. You sow in skills. Yeah. And skills, I believe, can be just as important, if not more, just as valuable, if not more valuable, than money. Giving into the church. You know, I have become the media man, I suppose, for church. So that is part of my giving to church, is my media skills, the stuff that I do there. Now, I give financially into the church as well, but what I give into the church, the skills, through the time that I spend doing things, is more valuable, I believe. I guess it's unquantifiable, but I believe that's more valuable than the money that I give in. I do give money, and it's important to give money, but so are skills. If all we ever gave was money, all we'd end up with lots of money is lots of money. I guess you could buy lots of things, and it's good to buy lots of things, but it's just things. Let's go back to that passage that Pastor Paul mentioned. With the little boy and all his bread, fish, well, I say all of it, there wasn't actually very much. So there's a situation there. Little boy comes with his bread and with his fish and says, this is what I have. He didn't come with some money and then Jesus multiplied the money. I guess he could have done that, but he came with what he had on him at the time. I guess you could liken it to talents, to skills, and also just to what he had. He looked at what he had on him and saw, yes, I can give in to this situation. So he did. And that was multiplied. So you might be sitting here thinking, I don't really have any skills. I don't really have any talents. Well, I bet you do, first of all. Because everyone does. But also, what you have, God will multiply it. Because that's how the kingdom works. It's a kingdom of multiplication. You give what you have, and then God makes it so much more. See, if everyone here gave their skills, gave their talents, then like Pastor Paul said, like that situation where the boy gave and they had abundantly more than they needed. That's what it would be like here. We give our skills, God multiplies them, we have an abundance. In this room, there is an abundance of skill. Because we're a bunch of great people. We're different. We're from all walks of life. And we all have skills. They're all different. Some of them are similar. But everyone has unique skills that they can bring to the table. When those skills are brought to the table, those skills are then multiplied by God. Amen. It's not us that makes the skill great. You know, I can come with my media knowledge or my music skill that I've practiced, but compared to what God does when He multiplies it, compared to what it's like once God takes it and multiplies it, is nothing. See, I come with what I have, but then God makes it great. Yeah. So when we come, there will be abundance of skills and finance. Yeah. And everything we need, God will provide. Amen. I thank God that we have such a versatile body of people here with so many different skills, so many different callings. You know, God calls us all to do different things. And as we do those together as the body, which is not all the same, then something great happens. And then we start to demonstrate the kingdom of God as we work together. So, I'm just going to read through this passage. Because, as I said, for me this is a significant passage. And there's some really good stuff in it. So I'm going to start in Matthew 6, verse 25. And it says, "So I tell you clearly, do not worry about any aspect of your life, what you should eat or drink, or what you should wear on your body. There are far more important things in life than food. And there are many more important things about you than what clothes you wear. Think of the birds you see flying around. They neither sow nor reap, nor do they store food away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father supplies food for them. Do you consider yourself more valuable than the birds? And who can add anything positive to his life through worrying?" Oh, that's a good question. If I can't add anything positive to my life through worrying, then why should I worry? Oh, that's a good question. So why worry about your clothes? Look how beautiful the lilies in the field are. They neither work nor weave to make themselves appear so good. And yet I tell you clearly that even Solomon in his most glorious apparel could not match these lilies for beauty. So if this is the way in which God dresses what grows naturally in the fields, things that are here today and gone tomorrow, will he not make sure that you are well clothed? How weak your faith is. Therefore, do not worry by saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what have we to drink? What can we wear?' The pagans are concerned about such things. But your heavenly Father is well aware of everything you need." Here we go. "Let the kingdom of heaven and living in a right relationship with God be your priorities. Then everything else you need will be given to you as well. So do not worry about what will happen tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. You have enough to think about today, and that is true for every day." Says it quite a few times there. Do not worry. I'm quite pleased about this because it means I don't have to worry. I quite like not worrying. You know, for me, the significant thing about this passage is it says there are transitory things like food and drink and clothes and needing to provide for yourself. These things are needs. People need to eat. People need to drink. People need finance, provision, especially in this culture, in this, well, the world that we're living in. You need money, don't you? Otherwise, there will be nowhere to live and there will be no food to eat. But what God says here is, look around you. I take care of that which is my own. So if I belong to God, if I give myself to God, then he will look after me. That's some good stuff. You know, I was at the point a little while ago. I have a job. And I work kind of part-time, semi-full-time. I work when there's hours there, and when there's not, I don't work. Simple. And I was at the point of looking for another job, so I have two jobs. So I have more money, because I thought, well, I have more time. I could earn more money. That would be great, because then I would have more money. I could invest money into other things. I could buy things. I could plan for the future, and so on. But at that point, I believe God was saying to me, actually, another job is not what I need. God's given me some skills. He's given me some interests in the areas of media, photography, camera stuff. I believe God was saying, go and do some do some media stuff with church. Go and help Dan. So instead of getting the other job, I said, well, I'll come and help with the media. Actually, it was when Pastor Paul, at the beginning of the year, just after Christmas, you know, a new year, we have lots of talk about new things. And Pastor Paul was saying, what is going to be, what are you going to give into the church this year? You know, as Pastor Paul does, because he's the pastor, he's the boss, he has the big vision. He says, right, this is where we're going this year. This year is going to be awesome. We're going to see God do all sorts of stuff. Absolutely, I'm there. And then he says, so what's your part going to be? What part are you going to play? How are you going to be a part of it? How are you going to be involved? And I thought about that and felt the nudge of God saying, give your skills. In media. Well, the skills that I had, to be honest, they weren't actually that great. You know, I guess I am the media man, but it's not like I have that much experience. I have an understanding of technical things, which of course helps. Bought a camera for Christmas with Charlotte and learned how to use it. So in the last few months, I've learned how to use a camera properly. I've learned how to take photos. I've learned how to do video. And now I can do it. Yay! Because God takes the skills that you have, but he multiplies them. He accelerates them. And I thank God for his acceleration in my media skills. But you know, my point here is that you don't need to have great skills before you say, okay, my skill is good enough to sow into church. My skill is good enough to give into this area, to be part of this area of church. If you have some skill, then you go for it. And as you go for it, as you give yourself, then God will multiply that skill. God will use that skill. God will increase that skill. Because being part of a church is not like being part of a secular company. Because you do not rely on your skills alone. You rely on the Holy Spirit. You rely on the strength and the power of God working through you. You know, when I do church news, I thank God that the strength and power of God is enabling me to do that job. Yes, I do have some skill, but it's God who enables it to happen. I thank God for that skill. You know, says in start of Romans. Oh, yeah, we've been there before. Well, it's a good book. There's some good stuff in Romans. I'm about to bring out some good stuff from Romans. Yeah. At the start, I've got Romans 1:5. It says, it was through him and for the outworking of his purposes that I received the grace, the spiritual enabling to be an apostle, calling people from the nations to be obedient to God. And obedience only made possible through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul's laying out, yeah, this is my calling. I'm gonna live for the purposes of God. And then he says, I know Pastor Paul majored on this, and you also are included among those who have been called by God to belong to Jesus Christ. You also are included. I am included. That means that I matter. That means that my skills matter. That means that the skills that God has given me matter to this church. Because God has placed me in this church. See, you are in this church. If you are in this church. And you have skills for a reason. God just doesn't do things by accident. If he gives you a skill, he gives it to you so you can use it. He gives you a talent so you can use it. You know the parable of the talents. When the master gives his talents out to his servants, to his workers, and they, well, some of them use their talents, some of them don't use their talents. But they were given talents to use them, to multiply them. Yeah. If God has put you in this church, he has given you talents, he has given you skills, so you can use them. So you can be part of the body, so you can give them into the body. Hallelujah. And so that as the body, as the church, yes. We will be enhanced, we will be encouraged, yes. we will be in a better place because you are here giving your skills. We will be able to demonstrate the kingdom better because you are here giving your skills, sowing your skills into the church. But then it doesn't stop there. Because it's not just that the church is better off because you're here giving your skills. Because as you sow, you will reap. The more you give yourself to God, the more you receive back from God. You can never outgive God. So I'm right there. I'm giving my skills. I'm saying, oh, this is pretty hard, giving my skills. And then God comes and he gives those back. The more I give, the more I will receive. So this comes back to my fulfillment. Do you live a fulfilled life? Because God wants you to live a fulfilled life. Fulfilled lives are better. They're more exciting. They have purpose. They have destiny. But how do you live a fulfilled life? You give yourself to God. You do something. There's an action. You know, I notice in my walk with God, and I haven't been walking with God as long as many people in the room. I've been walking with God a lot more than some people. But I notice in my experience, in my walk with God, when I'm actively giving myself to God, then it's better. Yeah. Then my relationship with God is better. My walk with God is better. Yes. My life is more fulfilled. When I hang back and kind of pull away from what's going on, when I pull away from God, then, you know, my life is still good, but it's not as exciting. The fulfillment isn't as rich, isn't as strong. The joy isn't as great. Like that song we sang this morning. Bring me joy. Mercy's new every morning. This should be the life that we live. You know, God gives us a purpose and a destiny. We talk about this much in church because it is important. I have purpose. I have destiny. I have importance, not in an arrogant way, but I just realize that God made me for a reason. So I have a purpose because God has purposed me for his kingdom. That means I'm significant. That means I have responsibility to sow my life into the places that God is leading me to sow my life into. But it doesn't mean that everything is like big vision, wow, super duper, all the time. You know, I probably a lot of you know, I believe God has a plan for my life, as I just said, that I want to go and live in West Africa. I want to see many, many people saved. God has given me a passion for unsaved people. He's given me a passion for especially people who have never heard the gospel in that region. I want to see many people saved. I want to see the kingdom of God impacting that region and the nations in that area. I want to see things happen, you know, big things. I want to see many, many people saved. But right now, you know, I'm living in Scarborough. I work a minimum wage job. Does that mean I'm outside the purpose of God? No. I'm living in the purpose of God for my life right now. Right now, God says, live in Scarborough, have this job, give yourself to church, give the skills that you have. I am fulfilled. I'm living a fulfilled life. It's difficult to quantify that. But I know, deep down inside me, I am fulfilled. I am happy. I am excited about God. You know, I walk to work often. And, it's a job. It's a good job. I thank God for it. Yeah. But it's not the most exciting job in the world. But I walk to work, and I have an excitement inside of me. Why is that? Because, if I'm honest, I'm not really that excited about doing the job. The excitement is God. It's the fulfillment. When I'm there, when I'm working, I have a deep fulfillment inside of me. A deep excitement, a deep joy. That is my sustenance. And this is how we should live. Yeah. Live in the fulfillment. Is your life boring? It shouldn't be boring. I work a normal job, but it doesn't mean my life is boring. I have big plans for the future, but I'm living in little things now. That doesn't mean it's boring. That just means I'm living in the purpose for now. I thank God. I thank God for the fulfillment he gives. You know, I talk to many people, normal people, and I realize this is not normal. People are not normally excited about life in general. People don't have the deep sense of joy that I have. People don't have that level of, yeah, I'm living with purpose for today. I'm living in the plan of God today, and I'm happy today. But I thank God that this is what we have, and we can share it. Yes, yes. You know, if you're here for the first time, or if you're here as a non-believer and you think it's all a bit weird, well, I guess it is a bit weird, but I can tell you, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And your life should be exciting. If your life is boring, well, okay. But your life should be exciting. God wants to make your life exciting. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to end up, going to suddenly do all the big stuff. You think, my life will have made it when I'm here doing this or that. Your life can be exciting right now. And it becomes exciting through the fulfillment, the excitement that God gives you on the inside. You know, we talk about, as it says in Romans, not being ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God. Yes, it is the power of God. Salvation working inside us, which is the sozo, which is the complete restoration, healing, complete transformation. But you see, salvation, it doesn't stop when you become a believer, when you give yourself to God, when God cleanses you from your sins, when he says, you're great, come and walk with me. It doesn't stop there, because God has a plan and a purpose for you to live in the fullness of his life every day. Every day. It says in John 10:10, that we all know, thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life. And life in all its fullness. You can live in the fullness of God's life today. That doesn't mean changing your job. That doesn't mean a radical rethink of how you live, necessarily. It just means giving yourself to God. So living out the purpose of God requires action. Yeah. If we're to be the kingdom people who live out the purpose of God every day, it means we are a people of action. It means we're a people who do things. It means we're a people who see a need in the body and say, I will give myself to that need. It doesn't mean that we say, that we apply ourselves outside of where we believe we should be or outside of what we believe we should be doing. But it means that we give of ourselves. You know, we passed around an offering bucket this morning and we put money in and we thank God for his provision on our lives. But offering, the offering on a Sunday morning or the offering to church is not just the financial, it's the giving of your life. It's the giving of your life, not just financially, but with your skills, with your time, with your know-how, with your knowledge, and through the giving of that skill, you will then reap a great reward. Thank you, Jesus. So, let's just have a quick look. In James. James 1. I'm probably not going to be there for that long, so you don't need to turn. James 1, verses 22 to 25, says, you deceive yourselves if you only listen to God's word. You need to do what he says. For the person who listens to the word but fails to act on it is like someone who sees his face in the mirror and then immediately forgets what he looks like. By contrast, the person who takes seriously what God commands us to do enjoys freedom. He continues to obey because he does not forget what he's heard and so is blessed in what he does. So, So if we're to take seriously what God commands, we need to respond. We need to do what it says and enjoy some good freedom. Are you living in freedom? Well, you can. You just do what it says. The word says in Hebrews, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to separate what is of self and what is of God. If you're in the word, reading the word, and asking God to show you, how does the word apply to me today? He will show you what it is that you should be involved in. He'll show you what it is that you should be giving yourself to. Because when you do give yourself, you will experience that greater level of fulfillment. I can say that now I have said I will do church news, I will do, you know, all that stuff. I'm living in a greater level of fulfillment. Because I've given myself to what God said. When you're obedient, then there is reward. Let's be obedient people, then we can live in the goodness, can live in the reward. Really, that's the bulk. It's the bulk of what I want to propose, what I want to share. Do we give of our skills as well as our money? Do we give of our talents as well as our money? Because that leads to the fulfillment. That leads to an exciting life. That leads to a good life. It says in Matthew 7, it's the one after Matthew 6. Matthew 7:7. Continue to ask, and what you pray for will be given you. Go on seeking, and you will find what you're looking for. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. So again, it's an active thing. It's a thing that you don't sit back, but you're active with God. And then there comes reward, because you are given what there is to do. So, as I finish, I'll come back to what Pastor Paul said with his story of the feeding of many people with the loaves and the fish. What skill is it, or talent, or gifting is it that you have that God is wanting you to give for the benefit of others around you? Now, giving that skill or talent, it will probably cost you. It will cost you in time, it will cost you in energy, effort, tiredness. You know, that boy, when he gave his food, when he gave his lunch, he didn't have any lunch anymore because he'd given it away. And, you know, he's a little boy. I remember when I was a little boy, well, I still do. I like my food. You know, I like to have a good meal. If I was there as a little boy, and there are many people, but I'm there with my lunch and there's no food around, I'm thinking, well, I'm hungry. I need my food. But the little boy selflessly gave it away. And then as he gave it away, he reaped the great reward. 12 baskets of leftovers from the little basket that he started with. So he gave, there was a cost, but many, many people, including himself, reaped a great reward. What is it that you have? Or what skill or talent, or it could be something else. What is it that you have that God is telling you to give? Yeah. As you give it, like I said, it may cost you. But as you give it, there will be great reward, not just for you, but for those around you, for the body in general, and for the church. Yeah. So let's search our hearts and give. Yeah. give of ourselves. Because it's going to be the best way to live. That's how the kingdom is going to be advanced. Through the giving of these things. Yep.
Praise God. That was good, wasn't it? I really got something out of that. Thanks, Rob. Excellent. Well, praise God. I don't know, here's a question for you just as we come to the end then. What if you have a gift and you don't see a way for that gift to be used at the moment? What do you do? I'll tell you what. One thing that you can do is you can learn from those who've gone before us. What if you're called to be an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, and a pastor? All five. What are you going to do? And that's a pretty major calling. The one that went before you was called Jesus Christ. He's the only one we've ever seen who's been called to all five of those at once. What did he do? Well, first of all, he waited 30 years rather than trying to make something happen because he knew God would open the door at the right time. He didn't try and make himself savior early on. So there's a clue. We don't try and push and think, oh, that's not right. That's not my calling because nothing's happening or nobody's come along and said. And at the right moment, it was God the Father that made sure he was recognized when he was anointed at his baptism with the Spirit. And that's what God will do for you. He will make the way open. Never look to humans around you or even church leadership to give you recognition. Because if they are the ones that appoint you, your ministry will be completely earthly. You need the Holy Spirit to release you. And if it's the Holy Spirit, he's totally capable of making church leaders listen. Even ones who aren't very good at it, he will make them listen. He's God. And so even when Jesus was called and he had that ministry of being an apostle, etc., what did he do? He served. He got out, he washed people's feet. He went around healing people. He mixed with the people that nobody else wanted to mix with. And ultimately, his service involved actually being whipped and beaten and put on a cross. So you think, what do I do if I've got this gifting and it's not being recognized? You do what Jesus did. You wait and you serve. Because sometimes people think, you know, I've got a mighty calling. I'm going to be at the top of the triangle of leadership. But the problem with the triangle of leadership is it's the other way up. Because Jesus is the foundation. Everything the church is built upon the rock. And then it says the foundation of the church is built upon the apostles and the prophets. So the greater you're called to, the more you'll be called to serve. So if you want fulfillment and you want to see God work through you and to live out your life, there is only one way. And it's like Rob said, it's to do something. It is to serve. And as you serve in whatever capacity, it doesn't necessarily even mean, you know, you may be called to be a prophet. But Jesus was called to be a prophet and he washed feet. You do what is there to do and you serve and God sees the heart and recognizes the heart. Because before you can do West Africa, like Rob will do, I am convinced he will go out there and he will see many saved and he will have a powerful ministry out there. But what God is doing in him now is working in his heart. And if he rushed out there and went out to live out there for 47 years right now, probably wouldn't work because he's waiting for God to say now, just like he did even with his own son. I'm only saying all this because I feel some of you really need to hear this, because we can get a little bit frustrated. I've been there. You know, we get a little bit frustrated because you sense God's calling on your life and you think it's not being recognized or it's not really happening or I've got this on me. Why isn't anything happened? The only thing you can do is something. It's get in there and serve and use the skills and the talents and things that you've got to, and then let God do the rest. Because if you try and make it happen, you will never see. You will just have some carbon copy that will be very flat and one-dimensional and will not actually really bless people's lives. So if you're called to be that mighty evangelist, and let's pray that God is raising up mighty evangelists. How do you get into that? You look for opportunities to serve and to give and to do, and you just let God be God and let him release you. Because what he does will be far greater than you would have ever manufactured and far greater than you would have imagined. And ultimately, that's what will fulfill you rather than building your own straw bridges that will fall apart. Amen. So that was a brilliant talk. It really was a good talk. It was of the Lord. Amazing how we managed to fit together there, Rob, wasn't it? Because our communication was me sending Rob a text, can you speak on Sunday? And him saying, does that mean this Sunday or next Sunday? Which I thought meant the same thing, but apparently doesn't. But that was it. And then God does the rest. Hallelujah. So we're going to stop now. Have a wonderful rest of Sunday. If you want somebody to pray with you, if you've come seeking healing, come forward and we can pray with you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.